Well, a remarkable game of tennis, wasn't it? Novak Djokovic defeating Roger Federer. And I'm sure Roger Rashid has watched and witnessed many great tennis matches in his time, but this one would have certainly been up there. Morning, Rog.
Hey, good morning. Look, I was absolutely... And it started from the... I mean, if I go back to when they just walked, they were walking through the clubhouse, and you go past the windows, and the fans can look inside, and they're clapping, and you can hear the roar, and just that walk through, you could feel the tension already building, because when they walked onto the court, and the crowd was going to be very much pro Roger, so there was this sort of ambience in there that was about, there's a crowd that desperately wants Roger to win. They respect Novak, so there is obviously some Novak fans, but reality is Novak was going into the fire and he had to sort of use that. And it sort of works for him because he likes that sort of them versus us mentality. And the first five games was ridiculously tense. You could feel it. And the boys had a little bit of... they were trying to feel each other out, but they were also going after it. And I thought Roger was the best player throughout the course of the match and lost the match. Obviously, he won a lot more points. In all the statistics, he led every stat bar one. And it was just, the tie breaks, he actually didn't play that well on the tie breaks, and that was the reality. But, yeah, I mean, I'm still sitting back going, how did he lose that match? 8-7 in the, was down 4-2 in the fifth set, then was 8-7 up, had two match points at 40-15. Now, I think you two boys would put your houses on him at 40-15, 8-7, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
Yep.
Yeah. Roger, we got this in from one of our listeners, John from Wollongong. He goes, please can you ask Roger if any tennis player has lost a final when not having their serve broken? Federer did not get broken. Well, yeah. Joker got broken a few.
Everybody got broken. That would have to be... No, you'd have to get broken because it was always the tennis...
That's wrong.
Yeah, the fifth was always an advantage.
Yep.
So someone would have to get broken, even if it was 7-6, 6-7, 7-6, 6-7. So there's definitely going to be a break there. But look, it was one of those matches where, I mean, Roger was, you could see the master go to work. He was so proactive with the ball, but then he got really passive in moments when Roger Federer normally gets big. And it was one of those matches where you couldn't leave the point. And every moment had a bit of drama attached to it, and there was obviously some residual effect that would take place, and it was one of those classics. You can't you can't explain it, to be honest, but it was you can't break it down either. You know, some people I've seen online people trying to break it down through the data and the stats, and I mean, it's ridiculous, and said, oh, this is how Novak won. Well, excuse me, if Roger hits an ace at 40-15, is it, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes the stats are just, that ain't mean anything.
I often say your sport is blessed to have three great champions, and their longevity is absolutely amazing.
And the other one with that, CK, and Loz, is that you're 100% right because of what they give to the game. And Novak's obviously, now he's on 16 majors. He's won his fifth Wimbledon. So and he's won in the era of Roger and Rafa.
Yeah.
But Roger also, 2 days ago, he took on his massive rival in Rafa Nadal and got him in four sets in an epic type of match. So the energy and to get himself up and play Rafa then, and then turn up and do that against Novak, and probably should have got the double, didn't obviously, but that's in its own right, that's amazing, that he was able to offer that sort of tennis.
Just a technicality for me, mate, if we can. Is this the first year of that super tiebreaker?
Yeah, it is, and it got there. Can you believe it? We only said it was one played in the doubles and nothing in the singles, and all of a sudden that last... final, and it's interesting when it gets to you sort of got to 12 all, and you thought, why are we doing this at 12? Like, should it have been 6 all? Should it have just been an advantage? It's the Isner effect. John Isner and Nicholas Mahut played that monster that went into the
70-68, 8 hours, 11 minutes, but it took 3 days, didn't it? I think,
but realistically, you don't get it that often, so it's a bit of an outlier. And I know they put something around it, it was a massive match. The women's, so it just sort of sits off. It was a great way to finish the event. The women's was, climatic in the sense that Simona Halep went out there and actually had a game plan. She was able to execute on the biggest stage against the biggest player, and her game plan was purely to serve the ball into the body of Serena Williams, because she needed to limit the first serve percentage mistakes. She didn't want to get Serena to have access to a second serve. It's too light. So she went safety into the body. And then when she got the ball to hit, she actually opened the court up by hitting using the lines, and she ran around like a defensive maniac when she had to as well. And that was, I mean, what a class act from start to finish under extreme pressure on a court like that. It's, again, that was another remarkable outcome and a remarkable display, but just of a different type of nature.
And we did have some success there with Dylan Alcott. He won the Quad wheelchair singles final, and he currently holds the Grand Slam. So well done to him.
Yeah, he does, and that was the inaugural one. As you said, it was it's getting just like the great thing is the awareness of it. It gets supported more, big crowds around it. There's so much awareness. So there's as Dylan said in his interview at the end, he said, it's the young kids that are watching that are in the chairs that actually can now look and see that they can do stuff.
Yeah.
And so he sells that message. You know, he sings that song and pretty loud, and it's great to him. He's a fantastic young man.
He is. He's really good. He's saying, I used to hate being in this wheelchair. He goes, now I love it. I think he's really good inspiration for a lot of kids out there struggling.
Now, can I ask you this question? So that went for 5 hours. There's a lot of people are saying,
don't bring this up.
For 5 hours.
Yeah. What, the equal pay between men and women?
No, not that. Oh. But there's a lot of people that say, we've had a lot of people say, there are people saying, the men's matches, they go for too long. Who would, why would you sit through a 5 hour sporting event in this current climate when everything's sort of fast and everyone, people want the action? And people are saying, let's get the Grand Slams back to 3 sets. But, you would never get these type of matches. No. And so you'd never be able to talk about these classic matches in your sport.
No, I'm with you. You're talking to a bloke who loves test match cricket. It's played over 5 days and can end in a draw, right? So you're probably talking to the right.
That is nuts.
Good on you. Hey, Rog, thanks so much, mate, for all your help over that
no worries,
that
always
Northern Hemisphere summer. I would love to see you when you're up in Sydney, and plus we'll chat in the build-up to the US Open.
Brilliant. Sounds good.